Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Are your wiper blades chattering, skipping, or squeaking? Don't let streaks or smearing on your windshield compromise your visibility. When it's time to replace your wiper blades, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and see our selection. Our professional parts people will even install your new wiper blades while you wait. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For all you elk hunters out there, chasing turkeys is basically the same thing. I know the reaction you just gave me, but don't knock it till you try it, and don't try it without OnX. The Hunt app will not only help you find new areas on public ground, but I use it to find out landowner info to get permission on private ground that I see birds on as well. OnX Hunt has a special offer for you. Use code CAL to receive 20% off your membership at onxmaps.com/hunt and find more birds this spring. Hey, I just sat down with the owners and operators of Maui Nui Venison. They're on a mission to balance axis deer populations on Maui while giving back to the community and run a totally sustainable operation. For folks like me who want to get your own meat but aren't always successful, you can become a snack subscriber, get some axis deer sticks sent right to your door. Visit MauiNuiVenison.com. That's MauiNui. Venison.com and use promo code CAL for 20% off your first order.
From Meteor's World News Headquarters in Bozeman, Montana, this is CAL's Weekend Review presented by Steel. Steel products are available only at authorized dealers. For more, go to SteelDealers.com. Now, here's your host, Ryan Cal Callahan.
Elon Musk is about to be the proud owner of 43 acres of a Texas state park. Yay. The Texas Parks and Wildlife Commission voted unanimously last week to pursue a land swap that would give the acreage to SpaceX in exchange for 477 acres adjacent to Laguna Atascosa National Wildlife Refuge. Texas Parks and Wildlife says this is one of the most biologically diverse regions in North America and provides habitat for endangered species and migratory birds. The 43 state park acres, on the other hand, are surrounded by private properties or existing SpaceX facilities and do not include any waterfront access. Still, as you might expect, not all Texans are pleased about the idea of giving state public land to the world's richest man. Residents who spoke out against the land swap worried that SpaceX could harm endangered species like ocelots and piping plovers. They also worried that even though the deal would not necessarily impact beach access, SpaceX has restricted access to the beach before due to safety concerns during rocket launches. Tribal leaders also testified that the land exchange would limit their ability to use ancestral fishing areas. Despite these concerns, Texas officials still think the deal will be a net benefit for wildlife. Cameron County Judge Eddie Trevino Jr. called the 477 acres the state will receive a, quote, treasure trove of biodiversity. The nearby wildlife refuge is located on the Gulf of Mexico near the southern border of the Lone Star State, and the land exchange would actually increase overall public beach access for state residents. These land swap deals are pretty common. A private entity wants a piece of public land in a certain location, and so they offer the state or federal government a larger chunk of land, we hope, somewhere else in exchange for the parcel they want. Sometimes it's a great way to exchange land that is less ecologically important for more sensitive areas that provide habitat for lots of different critters. Other times, it's a land grab designed to benefit political allies. The official comment period is over for this deal in Texas, but the story is far from. The commission gave the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department permission to pursue the land exchange, but SpaceX is still negotiating with the landowner to secure those 477 acres. The department will also have to conduct a series of environmental assessments, which could take up to 18 months. This week, we've got the crime desk, legislation, man on the street with chili, and billfish. But first, I'm going to tell you about my week. My week was pretty darn cool. Chester, Chili, Snort, and myself loaded up a rental van and headed 12 hours east to Sioux Falls for Pheasant Fest. While there, we hit Minerva's, Silencer Central, where I picked up, or started the process of, picking up a couple of suppressors, one for the 338 RPM and another for the 30 cal. Really, Really wanted to get one for the 22 as well, but the bank account was stressed. Then on to the concert for conservation. Trampled by Turtles, absolutely crushed it. Of course, they were well set up by the opening act of Muskie Chet and the Keepers. That was incredibly cool to see. Our really good buddy Doug Dern got to get up there and sing. Man, hats off to Trampled by Turtles. It's just like, it's amazing to see, you know, any group out there, any act that has, you know, a really diverse customer base, listener base, and they're willing to put their brand in alignment with groups like Sportsmen for the Boundary Waters, Pheasants Forever, Quail Forever, obviously, that may not appeal to their audience as a whole, right? They're willing to risk slices of the pie for, you know, conservation purposes. It's awesome. On top of that, Doug Duran and Muskie Chet got up there to sing with them, and watching how Trampled treated those two up there on the stage, as if they were long touring artists themselves, was just classy, man. Super cool. Never thought I'd be a Trampled by a Turtle fanboy, but here I am. For what it's worth, they earned it. Okay. So after the concert for conservation, we headed out to get some sleep because the next day was Snort's big grand marshaling of the bird dog parade. I think there was over 100 dogs and 40 different breeds this year, which was really neat. Just like a funny, cool opportunity to see all different sizes, shapes, and breeds of bird dogs come across the stage. Big hats off to Bob St. Pierre over there at Pheasants. That dude works his butt off and, man, put the work in to getting some laughs and cheers for each breed of dog, which is hard to do when there's that many dogs. Then we saw Christy Noem, Governor Noem, sign a new conservation funding law bill into law. That's always great to see. Then we talked with a bunch of folks from all over the next 3 days. We moderated panels on South Dakota, public lands bird hunting, and the Public Access to Habitat program, which is like a pilot program that's a new funding source that allows more cash to be applied to public access to private property programs. So like we have block management here in Montana, but the program's not in Montana yet, but it could be. This is South Dakota specific right now. And I have to say big, big thanks to Onyx for dropping the seed money to get that program up and running. Our buddies over there at Onyx are doing amazing things for public land and public access. And of course, hats off to Old Snort Report. She did a fantastic job in an incredibly grabby crowd. Tons and tons of people. Everybody wanted to see Snort and give her a pet. And I think she only growled at maybe 2.5 children the whole time. Pheasant Fest is exhausting, but it always leaves me feeling positive about our conservation community. If you ever get the chance to attend, I think it's going to be in Kansas City next year. It's well worth doing. Lots of good information, lots of putting conservation policy and conversation first, and folks are really engaged and they're committed to the future of conservation. Seeing all this stuff that we like continue, so I'm really always happy to be a part of that one. Even though you may be able to tell it takes a little toll on the voice. Just so you can hear what I'm talking about, a little taste of the Pheasant Fest show floor, an opportunity for everyone to get a little added conservation group and conservation-minded exposure. Here is a special Man on the Street segment with Rapid City, South Dakota, and Meat Eater's own, Chili. After that, stick around, because we're going to go straight to the crime desk.
Hey guys, this is Chili with Cal in the Field. I'm with the North American Grouse Partnership, and I got Ted here to tell you a little information how you guys can get involved and what it is that they do. So take it away, Ted.
Thanks. Thanks for all you guys do, by the way, for conservation. We're here. North American Grouse Partnership includes all 12 North American grouse species, but we focus on the four primary prairie grouse species. So that's greater prairie chickens, lesser prairie chickens, sharp-tailed grouse, and sage grouse. And the main thing we're doing is trying to keep these species from becoming listed under the Endangered Species Act so we can still hunt them. We've lost that battle with lesser prairie chickens. They were just listed last year, but we're leading a group of heroes called the Lesser Prairie Chicken Landowner Alliance that are working to reverse that trend and save lesser prairie chickens and get them to the point where you can hunt them again. We're at grousepartners.org, and the best thing you can do is sign up to support and to advocate for things like conservation through the Farm Bill conservation title programs, and support the passage of the North American Grasslands Conservation Act when it comes up soon.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Ted. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
All right, this is Chili with Cal in the Field, and we are with PATH right now, and we have Cody here to explain a little bit what it is that they do and how to get involved. So, Cody, give us your elevator speech.
Alrighty, yeah. So our new public access to habitat program here in South Dakota was created to help bolster new enrollment of private lands into public access. So what we do is we add an extra incentive on top of the Game Fish and Parks walking area to help get some new access acres out there. Ways to get involved: spread the word on the program. If you feel like doing so, you can donate to the program. And get out and hunt the properties.
Awesome. And you guys have a website and everything too,
yes.
Correct?
Yep. I think it's pheasantsforever.org/path.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Cody. Appreciate it. And we'll see you around the bend. All right. This is Chili with Public Land Tees. I got Josh here to explain to you guys what it is that they do and how to kind of get involved.
Yeah, so we've been a company since 2017, and $5 from every item we've ever sold, we donate back to different conservation initiatives, whether it be habitat, access projects, duck stamp work, you name it. So if anybody wants to get involved and help raise money, you can go to publiclandtees.com, and $5 from everything you buy will be donated back to conservation.
Awesome. That's perfect, man. Well, appreciate it, and enjoy the rest of the show. Hey guys, this is Chili with Cal in the Field, working for Cal. We are here with the Rough Grouse Society and the American Woodcock Society, and I got Kevin here to explain what it is that they do and how you guys can get involved.
Hey guys, so we promote forest health, primarily for the rough grouse and the American woodcock, which are our birds of focus. Forest health for us means age class diversity, species diversity, removal of invasive species, and just in general making sure that there's an environment that's going to be good for the birds. We operate from Minnesota over to Maine, down to Georgia, in some of the primary rough grouse and American woodcock habitats. If you want to get involved, it's actually the 10th anniversary of the American Woodcock Society, and so we've got all kinds of exclusive stuff never before seen, and expanding our conservation programs into new areas for the celebration of the woodcock. So we're having a membership drive and encourage you to join and do your part in making sure these birds thrive.
Awesome. And they can just go on to roughgrousesociety.com or
.org. How?
Yep. .org. Okay, and sign up there.
Perfect.
Awesome. Thanks, brother. Appreciate it. Hey, this is Chili with Cal in the Field. I'm sitting here with Doug Duren, and he's going to tell you a little bit more about sharing lands and how you guys can get involved. So here you go, Doug.
Thanks, Chili. Sharing lands is a pretty simple idea. The idea that someone who wants to access a piece of property is making a contribution to conservation, making a contribution to that land in exchange for access to it. So sharingland.com. You can go on there. If you're an access seeker, you fill out a conservation resume. If you're a landowner, you go on and fill out a cooperating land profile, and we put those two things together.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Doug.
Dan Gates here. I'm the executive director for the Coloradans for Responsible Wildlife Management. The organization that we've got is trying to defeat this upcoming ballot initiative that is the trophy hunting in Colorado. This fall, voters will have a chance to take away hunting of mountain lions and bobcats, and we're hoping to be able to defeat that measure based upon science and based upon the North American model of wildlife conservation. We hope that you would join our forces in making sure that we're able to defeat these measures and keep hunting as a recreational opportunity, but also a management tool for our wildlife and natural resources. For more information, you can go to SaveTheHuntColorado.com. We'll be more than happy to take your donations, but at the same time, you can also get educated on the measures, and all the literature is on the website to where you can educate yourself and your peers and your relatives, neighbors, next door.
Moving on to the crime desk. A Tennessee man was recently convicted of felony aggravated assault and a host of wildlife crimes after he threatened a landowner with a gun. In August of last year, a landowner confronted 22-year-old William Franklin Stamey Jr. for spotlighting deer at night and shooting them from the road. Stamey was with two other buddies, and the trio had managed to kill a doe and a 7-point buck. When the landowner approached him, Stamey pointed a gun at him and drove him off. A sheriff's deputy caught up with Stamey a short time later, and that's when his troubles really began. The case was referred to the Tennessee Wildlife Resource Agency, and Officer Justin Pinkston was sent to deliver a criminal summons to Stamey's home. During that visit, Pinkston noticed a buck deer carcass in Stamey's backyard. Stamey had checked the deer in as an archery harvest in August, but he did not possess an archery license. The TWRA executed a search warrant of Stamey's home 4 days later, and officers discovered 11 more sets of deer antlers that Stamey admitted to poaching. But that's not all. Stamey had already been in trouble for poaching deer back in 2021, and these latest infractions add to another already impressive rap sheet. In total, Stamey pled guilty to poaching 15 deer, but the real number is much higher. He admitted to officers that in 2020 alone, he poached at least 20 deer in Tennessee. Those are 20 bucks stolen from the hunters in Tennessee. He will be spending 6 months in jail for his crimes, will have to pay $12,500 in restitution, and had his hunting privileges revoked for life. He also had to surrender rifles, bows, and antlers. Good job to the TWRA. Man, it's nice hearing that he got some stuff taken away and has to fork over some cash in his pocket, because a revocation of hunting privileges probably just doesn't matter to a guy like that. Over in Oregon, three men were hit with thousands in fines, and one of them will be serving jail time for poaching 5 huge sturgeon in Scappoose Bay. Back in 2022, legal anglers noticed that three men had caught a sturgeon in the bay, but didn't release it as is required by law. Game wardens went to investigate, but the men denied the accusation. However, wardens noticed 2 fishing lines extending into the water, and when they pulled them up, they found 4 live sturgeon, ranging in size from 5 feet to more than 7 feet long. But wait, there's more, as officers found another sturgeon in their boat. One of the poachers, Julio Duran, spent 20 days in the Columbia County Jail and owes $5,000 in restitution. Another poacher named Jose Plasencia must serve another 10 days on a Columbia County work crew or 80 hours of community service. And the third, Axel Guell, will serve 24 months bench probation. All three had their fishing privileges revoked for 3 years.
O'Reilly Auto Parts are in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. If you're confused about what part you need, like what wipers are going to be the best, what replacement headlights are going to be the best, go into O'Reilly and talk to the people that work there, because they're great and they're super friendly, and they'll get you squared away where you walk out knowing you got the right thing. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. Do you need your windshield wipers replaced? You need a brake light fixed? You need some quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/meateater. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/meateater.
For all you elk hunters out there, chasing turkeys is basically the same thing. I know the reaction you just gave me, but don't knock it till you try it, and don't try it without OnX. The Hunt app will not only help you find new areas on public ground, but I use it to find out landowner info to get permission on private ground that I see birds on as well. OnX Hunt has a special offer for you. Use code CAL to receive 20% off your membership at onxmaps.com/hunt and find more birds this spring. We've all seen plenty of gadgets and fads come and go, but here's one product that stood the test of time. Seafoam motor treatment. Lots of hunters and anglers know that Seafoam helps engines run better and last longer. It's really simple. When you pour it in your gas tank, Seafoam cleans harmful fuel deposits that cause engine problems. I'm talking common stuff like hard starts, rough engine performance, or lost fuel economy. Seafoam is an easy way to prevent or overcome these problems. Just pour a can in your gas tank and let it clean your fuel system. You probably know someone who has used a can of Seafoam to get their truck or boat going again. I guarantee you've listened to them because I use it, you know, regularly. People everywhere rely on Seafoam to keep their trucks, boats, and small engines running the way they should the entire season. Help your engine run better and last longer. Pick up a can of Seafoam today at your local auto parts store or visit SeafoamWorks.com to learn more. Sticking with Oregon residents, but moving over to Illinois, a bow hunter from the Beaver State got busted in the land of Lincoln for poaching deer from a city park. 30-year-old Brandon Scott Miller was indicted for poaching four does and two bucks from Lowell Park, a nature preserve in the city of Dixon that is off limits to hunting. He shot all six deer with a crossbow within the span of about a week, and when asked by game wardens whether he saw the signs prohibiting hunting, he said he was dyslexic. However, he also admitted to climbing an 8-foot fence to get into the park and to knowing that hunting season didn't begin until October 1. But he claimed he, quote, couldn't wait. I think we've all been there, Brandon, but most of us stick it out until opening day. And after all, man, you know, these rules, if we all stick by them, make our harvests a heck of a lot cooler, right? It's like if you're hunting where nobody else can, when nobody else can, it's not much of an accomplishment, is it? The Bureau of Land Management is offering a $10,000 reward for information leading to the arrest and conviction of the persons responsible for killing 19 wild burros in 2019. The animals were found shot along Interstate 15 between Baker, California, and Prim, Nevada. The agency released photos of two vehicles they believe are involved in the case, a gray or silver 2008 Toyota extended cab pickup and a white 2008 Toyota extended cab pickup with a white camper shell. These vehicles were caught on surveillance video near the scene of the crime parked in the lot of Whiskey Pete's Hotel and Casino. BLM special agents identified the weapon used to kill the wild burros as a .30-06 caliber rifle. They say it's likely an older gun based on the rifling of the projectiles recovered. And it could have been manufactured by Browning Remington Springfield U.S. Military Arms or a Winchester. Anyone with information about this incident is encouraged to call 909-987-5005. It's a big day for Oregon men here at the crime desk, and I'm sorry to say, I got another report about you. An Oregon man from the rural town of Aloha tried to pull a fast one on game wardens by claiming the deer in the back of his minivan was roadkill. 27-year-old David Benjamin Brock got pulled over near Beaverton back in December. When officers noticed a dead buck in the back, Brock claimed he'd hit the animal with his van, but officers noticed, quote, inconsistencies with the story, such as a huge bullet wound on the back of the deer's head. Subsequent searches of Brock's home and a vehicle turned up a used 7mm bullet casing, as well as a camouflage rangefinder, a deer call, and camouflage boots. Brock was cited with the unlawful possession of a buck deer. A Vermont poacher has been sentenced to 5 years in federal prison after leading state and federal officials on a chase around New England in an attempt to flee to Texas. The Vermont Warden Service had been investigating 38-year-old Ryan Goodrich for hunting without a license, and they obtained a search warrant for Goodrich's camper. Goodrich is prohibited from possessing firearms, but the wardens found a short-barreled shotgun along with six additional guns stashed in the camper. They also found 2,978 rounds of ammunition, 880 bags of heroin, and over $7,045 in U.S. currency. Goodrich wasn't at his camper when the warrant was executed, but a grand jury indicted him and a warrant was issued for his arrest. State and federal officials received information that Goodrich was at a hotel in Keene, New Hampshire, but he'd already fled by the time they arrived. They next received information that Goodrich was in the Deerfield, Massachusetts area and was attempting to obtain transportation to Texas. He was apprehended with help from the Massachusetts State Police, who you might know as Stateys, from a movie we can only play about 3 seconds of because this is a family-friendly podcast.
You a psychiatrist?
Well, if I was, I'd ask you why you're a statey making 30 grand a year, and I think if I was Sigmund Freud, I wouldn't get an answer.
Anyway, Goodrich is in some serious trouble, mostly for the guns and drugs, but we'll chalk this up as a win for wildlife, too. Last one for you. Many of you wrote in asking me to talk about the poaching of the so-called Hollywood buck in Virginia. This buck got its name because he was frequently spotted in Richmond's historic Hollywood Cemetery. He also sported a recognizable 29-point rack, which made him easy to identify. Here's a hot tip for you. If you're looking to kill things illegally, celebrity animals in particular don't post their pictures. Jason Walters made this mistake after he killed the Hollywood buck and claimed to have shot the buck in Prince Edward County, Virginia, using a muzzleloader. The buck's crazy antlers would have made the harvest noteworthy on its own, so it didn't take long for Virginians to start calling for Walters' arrest. Of course, it's not illegal to kill a celebrity buck as long as you follow all other hunting regulations, but an extensive investigation that involved 10 search warrants revealed that Walters allegedly didn't follow those regulations. He's being charged with 19 misdemeanors, including trespassing to hunt, failing to check and tag a deer, and illegal possession of wildlife. The Virginia Department of Wildlife Resources has not described the hunt in detail, but they have confirmed that Walters did not register the kill and trespass during the hunt. I think we can all read between the lines here. He was arraigned on February 27, and his trial is scheduled to begin April 11th. Moving on to the biology desk. A team of researchers from Germany recently published a study hypothesizing that striped marlin change colors to coordinate attacks on prey. Striped marlin are apex predators that live in tropical and subtropical regions of the Pacific and Indian Oceans. They are some of the fastest fish in the area, and they use a group hunting strategy in which they take turns attacking a school of fish one at a time. Scientists believe they hunt like this in part to avoid injuring one another during these high-speed chases. This new study has found that just prior to these individual attacks, the stripes on a marlin's sides get obviously brighter. When they move away from the school of sardines or other prey fish, those stripes dim again. Scientists have known about the marlin's color-changing ability, but this is the first time anyone has linked this ability to hunting or social behavior. No one knows exactly why they do this, but the researchers who published this study hypothesize that it both confuses the prey fish and lets the other marlin know when one is about to go in for a snack. We've covered before how invasive gray squirrels in the United Kingdom are outcompeting the native red squirrels. Now, a new study has found a possible reason for that advantage, and it's probably not what you'd expect. Gray squirrels were introduced to the UK in the late 19th century by fat cats who wanted to add some variety to their forests. That turned out to be a terrible idea, and now red squirrels are basically an endangered species in that area of the world. Gray squirrels are larger, more aggressive, and able to survive something called squirrel pox, which kills the reds but has no known lasting effects on the grays. This new study has found another reason for the grays' success. The microbiome of gray squirrels is far more diverse. Microbiome is the ecosystem of microbes that live inside an animal's intestines. Gray squirrels have a particular type of microbe that helps break down a plant compound known as oxalate. This is important because this plant compound is found in tree bark, and the presence of this microbe allows gray squirrels to digest the calcium found in the bark. This gives gray squirrels an easy source of food that is unavailable to red squirrels, who have to stick it out on a more limited diet of seeds and nuts. That's the advantage of not being a picky eater, kids. Mountain lions have been known to travel hundreds of miles in search of a mate, and a recent journey by a mountain lion from Utah is one of the longest ever recorded. The Utah Division of Wildlife Resources collared a female cat in 2022 in the Wasatch Mountains and gave her the designation F66. She stayed in that area until the end of May, and then, for some reason, decided to embark on a 1,000-mile journey through Utah, Wyoming, and Colorado. During the course of her travels, she had to swim a quarter mile across the Flaming Gorge Reservoir and traverse several interstates, including I-80, which she did twice, I-25, I-70, and Highway 40. The total journey took her 165 days. She averaged about 6 miles per day, and some days she walked over 20 miles. If you get a chance, you should look up the map where they tracked her journey. It's very impressive, especially considering how much human infrastructure she had to navigate. Unfortunately, I'm sorry to say that this story doesn't end in true love. F66 died in November of 2022, and biologists believe she was likely killed by another mountain lion. She didn't find her soulmate, but at least she died trying. I'm sure there's a lesson in there somewhere. Last one for you. Marine biologists working off the coast of Chile have identified more than 100 new species of fish and plants, including a new kind of bright red walking fish. Walking fish are actually a type of sea toad, which are themselves a kind of angler fish. Anglerfish use glowing lures that attract prey within striking distance, and this particular anglerfish had never been seen before. Its bright red skin is covered in small needle-like structures, and it has a pattern of small patches that make it look like the doilies your grandma put underneath the cake pan. You know, the ones that smell like cigarettes and, racism. It's called a walking fish because it has modified fins that let it walk on the seafloor rather than swim. Researchers found this fascinating creature on a mountain at the bottom of the ocean. These seamounts are kind of like underwater islands. They're home to many creatures that can only be found on those mountains, which puts them at a greater risk of extinction. Thanks to the one and only Corinne Schneider for sending us that story. Moving on to another quick-hitting legislative desk. Strap in, get engaged, pay attention, and we're going to have all this info on the website. So if you need a reference, you can go to it. But just remember, you get in a bind. Use that old Google machine. Who is my representative? It's that simple. I know I got a bad legislation. And it isn't just talk, talk, talk. The Wyoming House of Representatives passed HB 60 last week, which would jeopardize state game funds. This bill would give ranch owners the ability to claim damages to grazing ground on both private pasture and state grazing leases. Additionally, the rate of compensation would increase from 100% to 150% of fair market value. While private landowners are a crucial part of habitat management in Wyoming, this isn't the way to address this issue. The Wyoming Game and Fish Department estimates that this increased compensation category, the grazing land, and the increased compensation rate would cost the department as much as $12 million annually, more than 10% of the department's yearly budget. Please get in touch with your Wyoming state senators and Governor Mark Gordon and ask that they table this bill. Hunters will work with you, agriculture folks, but let's start on something a little more reasonable. Colorado lawmakers are pushing a bill that would reintroduce wolverines to the Centennial State. We've covered this policy item before, but CBS News reported last week that a bill is set to be formally introduced. The recent listing of wolverines as federally endangered is part of what's catalyzing this renewed push. It's also catalyzing a renewed push to keep wolverines out of the state of Colorado because, as everyone knows, that ESA protection is our highest level of protection. At times, having wolverines or other endangered species on a landscape can greatly affect the management of other species in that same area. So, walk, don't run, Colorado. In Kentucky, Senate Bill 3, SB 3, would strip the Department of Fish and Wildlife Resources of its independence and sweep it under the control of the Department of Agriculture. There are serious questions about whether this structure would violate the state constitution, and the bill is being opposed by a wide coalition of sportsmen's groups, including Backcountry Hunters and Anglers, the Congressional Sportsmen's Foundation, Sportsmen's Alliance, among others. Big thanks to Kentucky BHA Vice Chair Nick Hart for making me aware of this legislation. If you haven't already, we had a special drop this week featuring Colonel Mike Abel representing Kentucky Backcountry Hunters and Anglers. Having to do specifically with SB3, so please give it a listen if you haven't already. The Georgia House of Representatives just passed HB 927, which would allow hunters to wear fluorescent pink instead of orange while out in the field. The bill now heads to the Senate. That's a valuable use of time. The Minnesota legislature is considering a no-junk fish bill that would systematically reform how native so-called junk fish are managed in the state. This would include imposing bag limits, establishing restitution values for fish illegally harvested or wasted, and making it illegal to transport fish over a bag limit or during a closed season. The bill number in the House is HF4015 and SF4142 in the Senate. Thanks to Tyler Winter for sending us in this legislation. Tyler has served on the state's Native Fish Work Group and always keeps us appraised of the push to manage junk fish. He is a champion of these species. And if you haven't had one of Tyler's famous fish balls, you should do it. It'll make you think twice of chucking a sucker on the bank if that's what you and your family tend to do. They're awesome fish, provide a lot of recreational fun, and they're good table fare too. We should just, you know, treat them like a regular old fish. Down in Mississippi, the state legislature is considering a bill that would allow wild hogs to be hunted, trapped, and taken with the aid of drones. The bill does not go into any further detail, but because I know you're wondering, it is illegal to attach a firearm to a drone. Presumably, Mississippi hunters would use drones to locate hogs and push them towards other hunters. The bill number is SB 2662. All right, gang. That's all I got for you this week. To harp on you a little bit more, okay? Part of our recreational hunting responsibilities, that thing that makes that t-shirt that says hunting is conservation true, is weighing in on these issues. At the state level, at the federal level, it does not take much. Sign those newsletters. Go to howl.org, see what they're doing as far as issues that you can use their platform to write into, but make those individual emails, make those phone calls, and make sure that people around you are aware of these issues as well, and they are doing the same. In order to get bad bills off of the rolls, it takes a broad coalition of people. So even if talking about hunting and angling politics makes you feel like you stick out like a sore thumb, right? Like a vegetarian in Bloomington, Minnesota, for instance, okay? We need you. We thank you for being a part of this big outdoors family, and we need you to keep being engaged and talking about this stuff. Broad coalitions are what win these fights. We need folks that don't do exactly as we do. You may dress a little different, may wear your hair a little different. You may have a style that doesn't fit in with your old man's. But as long as you love wild places, wildlife, public lands, and access to them, you got a home here. So thanks again, and I'll talk to you next week.
I'm sure a lot of you guys remember the old ceremonial hunting tradition of eating the heart out of the first animal you kill. Meat from those organs are among the most nutrient-rich foods on the planet. You can get those same benefits your ancestors craved via convenient daily capsules from Heart and Soil. Find out more at heartandsoil.co. And remember, use code MEATEATER for 10% off your purchase.
Outdoor adventure won't wait for engine problems. Things like hard starts, rough performance, and lost fuel economy are often caused by fuel gum and varnish buildup. Seafoam can help your engine run better and last longer. Simply pour a can in your gas tank. Hunters and anglers rely on Seafoam to keep their engines running the way it should the entire season. Pick up a can of Seafoam today at your local auto parts store or visit SeafoamWorks.com to learn more. That's SeafoamWorks.com to learn more.